Welcome to the world of dark puddings, where two dynamic mistresses invite you to join them on a journey into the depths of BDSM. In this podcast, we explore the dark play space that resides in all of our fantasies, pushing boundaries and exploring desires in a safe and consensual setting. Join us as we provide insight, advice, and personal experiences that will both enlighten and excite you. Get ready to delve into the deliciously twisted world of BDSM with your hosts, Miss Kitten and Domina Faye.
Hey, kinky perverts. Welcome back to my dungeon. You are joining Miss Kitten and my very beautiful co-host in Johannesburg,
Domina Faye.
Yay. Hello, gorgeous.
How are you?
Good. I'm excited. I've got one of my favorite topics today that we're chatting about. And so we're going to bring a little bit of insight into what the whole role thing means in BDSM and tell our kinky perverts some of their options and maybe have a little chat about and explore some of them a little bit more deeply and let people know kind of what they mean or what they mean to us, because they can mean different things to different people. And how to get started, because the list is like endless.
Right? I think we can really just cover the basics right now.
Yeah, so I think the one title that I've kept, because this is all about, you know, titles, and I think titles are sometimes for the mighty, and I don't think any of us are really very mighty. So yeah, I think the whole title thing is fantastic. But just remember, this is your fantasy. So if there's something that you really want to be, and it's a cupcake, or it's a canvas, or it's a raccoon, you can be those things. Like, no one is stopping you. This is your fantasy. You can literally be anything you want to be. And just to not take this these roles that are given as your only options. So you need to do what works for you and find your own path.
Yes, I think the basic roles in BDSM is more as a guideline for others to understand where you basically see yourself, especially if you a person that are looking to play with someone, or if you're a person that's already playing with someone and you just want them to have a basic understanding of the kind of category you fall in. So it doesn't have to be completely you. It's just a basic guide to make people understand what you lean towards.
Yeah, I like that. What I don't like about the roles is that there are some that are considered sexier than others, and that kind of, I think, as the newbies come into the community, or my experience as a newbie in the community, I kind of looked at it and I was like, well, I'm not a submissive, like, that's not gonna happen. So then I have to be a mistress. Like, that's the only other role, really. Like, okay, I'll be a mistress. And I assumed a role without really understanding what it was about or where I was going with that. I know that you are definitely a mistress. You're an amazing mistress, an amazing dom. But for me, I'm a sadomasochist. Like, it's taken me 5 years on this journey to shed all this idea that I have to fit in somehow, that I have to have a title, that I have to have a role, that I have to have, you know, I don't have to do anything except shit and breathe. Those are two really important things to do during the day. The rest is all optional. So I feel a lot of the time people injure themselves by assuming a role that they don't quite understand, and by playing a part that other people perceive in a certain way, they receive certain feedback in the community, And they set themselves up for that. So I would just like to make it very clear to all our amazing listeners that you don't have to be anything but yourself. And you can just be exploring. That's a great role.
If you're unsure of your role, rather just say you're still exploring, or you're evolving, or you're just a kingster. There's nothing 100%. Wrong with that. It's still as sexy as being a mistress or being a submissive. But if you're not 100% sure where you actually fit in without proper information or understanding what it's about, rather keep it safe. And like Ms. Kitten said, don't set yourself up for flack from the community, because trust me, you're going to get it.
Yeah, and you know, these platforms lead, because they're so sexually open, they lead themselves to easy abuse. And putting yourself out there with a certain role often opens the door, unfortunately, for you to be abused. I have to say, as a sadomasochist, my inbox is lovely. I get very polite messages. I think my CBT has a lot to do with the fact that people are very nice when they speak to me in my inbox.
I think they know.
Yeah, I think they know too. But I've had a lovely journey, and I connect regularly with new friends and make associations with people who share my passion, and I'm able to talk openly with them. I don't have to field off mountains of shitty inbox messages, but I know that there are a lot of girls that do have to field those messages because people see the role in a certain light, and then assume that role means that they are maybe an easier target, or you know, open to this kind of chatter. So I think. The roles are great, and I think it's a fabulous idea, and I think it's really fun to play in them, and I definitely can get behind them for an hour or two. But I think the most important thing to remember is, you ethical human beings, show up ethically and authentically, and communicate ethically and authentically with others, and you'll find the journey is filled with lots more blessings and lot less blockings.
Correct. You know what? I think what we have to definitely make our kinky perverts understand is, this is called roles for a reason. This is a role that you step in for a certain amount of time, and then you step back out as a human being. You don't remain in those roles. So even people with full 24/7 dynamics, they have times where they actually are human beings with each other. There's never such a thing of, I am only in this role 24/7. This is who I am. This is only what you can see. I'm sorry, it's bullshit.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, that 24/7 role is a lovely fantasy. In reality, it's frigging hard work, and it's a huge amount of personal responsibility. What I do want to say is, like, you know, when you're starting off in kink, like, until you've played a little bit on sort of an hourly experience level, 24/7 is a great dream to have. Never stop dreaming. Keep your dreams alive. But you know, it's not realistic. And you need to have some experience before you dive into it and, you know, sell your clothes and your car and move to Switzerland to be a 24/7 slave for some guy. Like, I really wouldn't advise that. So, you know, take it easy. And then what I see a lot of the time is, these roles are fantastic. The play between somebody when you're in the situation of a DS dynamic is super fun, and it's intoxicating. And I see a little bit sometimes with the newbies, it's like a bit of frenzy crossing over to emotional bleed. Yeah. And this emotional bleed, where you start assuming these roles like 24/7 in your own head, even though you're still adulting, it means that you're not adulting responsibly, and that, you know, your adult responsibilities are affected. And that's not a great way to go forward in life, especially because it's going to ruin both kink and your normal adult world for you, and put yourself in situations that are hugely risky in your vanilla world. And I just think that that, you know, so there are some things that I think need to come into play to stop the emotional bleed in the beginning. And, you know, this goes back to the beginning where we spoke about boundaries, things like a time frame, maybe a signal to signal when you're in the role and you're stepping out of the role. So something like a collar. So I think that's hugely important, but I don't want to bore you with my jaded old age talk. Do you want to give us some roles, Dumpy? And let's excite these human beings with some interesting things that they can be.
So first of all, I want to give a disclaimer. This is for the LGBTQ plus community. Please understand that a lot of this research is from older articles where it wasn't always inclusive with gender or sexuality. But please understand that all the roles in BDSM is completely inclusive and you can be whoever you want to be. So that said, we basically have two main identities in the BDSM lifestyle, a dominant and a submissive. The dominant is the one in control and the submissive is the one being controlled. Okay, so dominant is an umbrella identity. It's not really a role. Your dominant is umbrella identity for the person in control of the relationship, partnership, dynamic. And the dominant takes on the responsibility for the well-being, proper training, and guidance of the submissive. So it comes with responsibilities. Okay, then the submissive is basically an umbrella identity for the person who has consensually given over some level of control to their dominant. Please remember, consensually. They are obedient and compliant to their partner. Don't forget the brats here because those come in as well at some point. But they should always conduct themselves in a respectful manner, recognizing their behavior is a direct reflection on their dom. So if a submissive acts out, it's a reflection on your dominant. And I think this is what a lot of people do not understand.
Yeah, and I think that you know, just that dom and sub role, there's so many breakdowns in those. So I think you can even there's so many, there's like a million raindrops under both those umbrellas. Mm-hmm. So that can look totally different for anybody. But what if you're not totally dominant and you like to be bossy and you like to be submissive? Is that possible?
It is. So you can be a switch. Okay.
I like that.
Personally, I am a switch. With everybody else, I'm a dominant. So I'm a dominatrix. I practice being a dominatrix. I train very hard. People don't understand the rigorous training I put myself through. However, I am submissive to my dom. I have a dom. I am collared. And I am... he's submissive. So whenever we decide to play, I basically take the submissive role with him. So yes, you can be both. It doesn't mean you have to be either or. You can be both.
And Domfei is, so when we're talking about dom and sub, we're talking about some, there's a DS relationship involved, and you're talking about being a switch. Is there always a DS relationship involved? Because I like to give the experience and receive the experience, but I'm not always totally committed to the DS, the dominant submissive side of things. So where does that fit in?
So you can definitely play literally just as play partners. You do not have to take a specific role. So you can basically just be a top or a bottom. So when you're just a top or a bottom, it gives you the availability to basically switch in that space from the one to the other. And then you become a service top to someone or you become a service bottom to someone. So you do not have to, yeah, so you do not have to submit to anyone. You do not have to dominate anyone. It can literally just be basically two play partners having a good time, one spanking the other, switching around, the other spanking you back. It doesn't have to be a DS situation at all.
I think DS is beautiful, but I think it's I think there's an enormous amount of commitment. Yes. You know me, not super keen on huge amounts of commitment. You know, longer than an hour is terrifying.
I think actually we need to bring new roles in. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm terrified to hear what you're going to say, but say it. Go wild.
I think we should just be a FTB.
What's an FTB?
A top bottom.
I think blood bag is a good role.
Oh,
I could be a blood
yes.
bag.
That sounds amazing.
But I'm now derailing the whole conversation. Okay, we were being all serious and we're doing so well at this. So you can top and you can top and you can bottom. And I think a lot of the time, and that's a great way to start. Because there's a lot going on if you haven't experienced the kink without adding the DS to it. So I think often, and I also think like I'm always weary and jaded because you know me, but I think adding a power dynamic, you need to be very confident in your ability to negotiate for yourself and yeah. your ability to stand up for your autonomy, for the rights of your own body in a situation. So yeah. just being a submissive does not necessarily mean handing your life over with no limits to somebody else. And I think when you're learning to negotiate and you're learning all of these things that come with kink, just negotiating the experience is a 17-page essay. So it's okay to just negotiate the experience and to use cute pet names and stuff, but not go as far as having a proper DS dynamic in the situation as well. The same way I think it's okay to negotiate the DS dynamic side of things and play with that without doing any heavy play or any hardcore stuff involved in it. I mean, calling somebody master might be quite sexy. I quite like stabby daddy. I have I have some very short friends that fit the stabby daddy and they're really sexy girls. So I could call somebody stabby daddy, but I'm not sure what DS dynamic that really fits into.
This is my personal viewpoint on things, right? Before you think of taking on a role, I feel it's extremely important to understand the opposite of that role. I feel that a dominant cannot truly be a good dominant if they don't understand what they submissive are actually experiencing. So
yeah, maybe writing those expectations down gives you a platform to say, this is my idea of a submissive. Mm-hmm. How does this work for you and how do you fit into that? And how do you see yourself in there? And then you can code up from that. So that's quite a nice starting point.
Yes, absolutely. I feel that you should know kind of what you're giving. So if you feel that you would really like to be, let's just name a simple thing now, a rigger. So a rigger can be male or female. It doesn't matter where you stand. It doesn't matter what your acronym or what you stand for is. A rigger is someone that works with rope, okay? You suspend people, you tie people with rope. But you do need to actually understand what the person you're tying with or who you suspend actually experience.
Yeah,
so
100%.
That for me is very important. So you can be in any position, any dominant or top position, but you need to actually understand what the people at the bottom or the submissive position experience in that moment. So yeah. It makes you a better top in that moment.
I think that you can be a top and you can be a submissive. As well, I have a couple of rigger friends who are actually submissives, but are just fucking phenomenal with rope. and who top very well, who are able to give others the experience with the kink, but aren't necessarily
master.
Dominance, yeah, and actually are in relationships and are submissive in their relationships. So I think you can be different roles with different people. Great. I mean, if you find me a mute Argentinian polo player, I'm happy to be a house cat. I'm so in for that. Like, I'm 100%. I'm so in for that. Boots, a tail, ears, and a bowl of milk. I'm sold. Yeah, which comes down to some more roles. I think we wanted to talk a little bit about some other sort of some types of submissive roles. I know that I don't often play with brats, but the bratty role is definitely something I actually find my current partner swiftly moving into. I don't know if he's just got super cheeky, but he's bratting quite a lot at the moment. And it is different to a slave role. It is different to a little role. It is different to, yeah.
However, is it the same one that's kind of a pet?
Ponies are very cheeky. He is a pony, so ponies are very cheeky, yeah.
Oh, they like to bite the apples, depending which apples it is, though.
Yeah, I'm finding I'm using the gag a lot more in our current relationship than I ever did before. Like, the gag has become my go-to piece of equipment before the pony mask goes on.
Okay, so
I think what I'm trying to say, and I'm saying it really badly, but I think there's also an evolution. And I think you're not tied down to one role. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, like, I was convinced I was going to be this, you know, hardcore mistress. I'm super hardcore, but I'm not super hardcore as a mistress. I'm super hardcore as a sadomasochist. And I think that is my evolution, has been more away from the DS and more into the pain play. Yeah, so, and like, I'm talking about for those of you who don't know me, I have a very beautiful latex pony called Athos. He is a show pony. He is very fun to take out. He is he looks absolutely divine dressed up. He loves to be shown off, and I'm not quite sure what else he do with a pony. He's not a workhorse. He doesn't do much work. He's not great to train because he's not very obedient. But he's very beautiful. And this pony is now, it's been interesting to watch, because he started off as just enjoying latex. And then he was a bit of a submissive. He was never a great submissive. He's not a great bottom. He's really not a great bottom either. And he's now sort of evolved, and it's been quite beautiful to watch his confidence. He went from just loving latex to being a bit of a submissive, to being really enthralled with being a pony. A latex pony absolutely loves that. And now, you know, there's a bit of a transformation, as we've got a very bratty latex pony. So, you know, that he's, and it's definitely an evolution, and it's definitely something that you need to encourage. And I think you need to revisit your negotiations and every sort of 3 months or so that you are on the same page. Because I think there's so much to explore that limiting yourself is a bit sad, especially in fantasy.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And you know what? There is absolutely nothing wrong with you feeling that today I fit more into being a submissive, and 2 months or 3 months down the line, when I've evolved in my role or as a person in the lifestyle, that I actually feel a bit more, I feel a bit more dominant now. It doesn't have to be a massive shift. It can just be a gentle shift, because really speaking, there are so many levels at which you can be a dominant, and the same with the same different levels that you can be a submissive, or you can simply just discard the DS completely and literally just be a top or a bottom. when you're just a top or a bottom, you completely play without the DS, the dominant and submissive dynamic. And that is completely okay. You do not need that to be in the lifestyle. Ultimately, you need to be, stay authentic to who you are.
I love that.
I love that.
Some of the other roles that I play in a little bit. So obviously, because I have a pony, every now and again I'm a trainer, which is quite fun because I get to be bossy, but I don't want to be an owner because then I have to take full responsibility. Again, there's a commitment thing coming in. Owner's a bit much for me. Somebody else can own the pony. I just want to train it. And I play with quite a few different pets, actually. So pet play, I'm obviously Miss Kitten. I'm quite happy, like I said, to be a house cat for the right person. For everyone else, I'm a feral monster. But pet play is something that I really can get behind and is really quite fun. I have a couple of pups that come to see me for needles and really enjoy that sort of that puppy energy and that that experience and being able to walk them around on leashes and give them tasks and look after them a little bit. It's really fun to borrow somebody's puppy and spend some time with it. Something like a kitten, I've spoken about that already. I myself used to do quite a lot of kitten play. I haven't done kitten play in a couple of years, but still something that I dream about and still definitely a fantasy for me. So pets, so the whole pet play aspect of it is also a DS, is also sort of a dominant, like a trainer with as almost submissive. I wouldn't really label him submissive, but more bottom, like my pony or like a puppy or like another kitten. So you can really take it to like the nth degree. I think I saw the other day that raccoon is now available as a title, which is fantastic. Trash pandas for the win.
Absolutely. I do need to find out though, is it a dominant or a submissive, or is it just a kind of a switch?
for raccoon, I don't know, but when I saw it was raccoon with a small r, so I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, more submissive role then.
I don't know if that helps.
I really think I can fall into that role, eating all the trash food that I want. Can we add cake to that list, please?
Yeah. I'm sure raccoons eat cake. So, you know, there's really like, I think in the world of that I play in with needles, you sort of get a needle switch. You get something like a blood bag. You get something that's obviously more extreme. You get somebody who just is not even a masochist, but just sees themselves as a canvas, as a vessel for art.
Pin cushions, actually.
A pin cushion?
Yeah.
I think you can explore it in any way. So I can almost guarantee you, if there's something floating around your head and you think that would make a great role, you can own that. And it probably already exists. You'd be surprised. They have raccoon with a small r. So, you know, anything's possible. And as long as it's discussed with your partner and you're on the same page, you're happy to go with that. I think we need to cover a little bit. Sort of the most extreme for me as a role would probably be master and slave. And how does that, what does that look like? And I have no experience with that at all.
Okay, so a master or a mistress, obviously your master is your male and mistress is female, then they can have a slave, which can be either or even if you falling into the other spectrum of not having a he or a she role. Basically, your master or mistress is a type of dominant that takes ultimate control over the slave. So where you have like just a normal dom, they will basically be your dom in a role play situation when you're actually having a play session. And they will, they can assist you during other daily tasks. They can give you some guidance. They can teach you stuff, but they don't take on a full responsibility the same way that a master or a mistress does. they go literally into a full, a total power exchange. So the slave literally give over everything, every power that they have. So their financials, the what they eat, what they wear, what they're doing, everything has to be basically predetermined by the master or the mistress. So it is an extremely taxing dynamic. It can absolutely be rewarding, but it is not for everyone. That is really extreme. And you have to really think carefully before you step into this. And like Ms. Kitten said earlier, this is not for people that's just starting out in the lifestyle. It sounds freaking awesome to say, no, can I be your slave? But trust me, you don't even know half of where to begin. It's not an easy role to take on. It's a complete and utter... you actually give over completely. Even the use of your body, you give over completely to your master or mistress. There is definitely a contract in place where you will set your boundaries and limits, and the master and mistress have to adhere to this. But you give over yourself completely to be used, to do, to follow their guidance and what they tell you to do, absolutely, without any question.
So it's that's huge commitment.
Yeah, it's very hardcore. It's massive commitment.
Okay, that's you said the word like twice. You said, and you used massive in front of the word commitment. Yes. I'm out. That's not for me.
That is why, even though it often happens that I have people that call me mistress, physically I am not a mistress because I will never take on a slave. It, for me, in my daily life, it is just not something that I can do. So I am a dominatrix. I associate myself with that because it's an umbrella role that I can do different things there. And I can do the DS dynamic or relationship or just the role play in the session, but I'm not a full-time mistress at all.
I think I've done quite a lot of slave mistress role play, but yeah. I have not ever had a full-time slave. I do have a CBT bottom who I absolutely adore, who is one of my best friends, who we just authentically aligned. But we have a sadomasochist relationship more than we have a mistress-slave relationship. And I do call him my slave, and he is committed to me from... so we've modified the role a little bit from the point of view that he wouldn't play with anybody else. He would discuss that with others before he discussed it with others. That cock is mine to torture. But it's more from almost from a safety point of view that because we play with blood on such a big level, that we are transparent about partners, that we are transparent about blood pathogen testing, that we are concerned about the risk factor involved with expanding play partners and stuff in that relationship. And then also from the fact that our plays are so big, that if he was playing with other people as well as playing with me, there wouldn't be capacity for the work that we're doing. So, you know, that from that side, but it's certainly not that he has given his finances over to me and committed to me for a lifetime. So I think like all the roles, they can all be calibrated to suit what you want, and they can all look different for different people. I do want to say that I think we need to be respectful of other people's roles that they share with their partners. So if somebody is collared, or if somebody is acknowledging that they are in some way owned by a master or mistress, or in some way served by a slave, that we are respectful of those relationships the same way we would be if somebody had a ring on their finger, or you know, arrived with a certain somebody to a party. Just having ethical respect and keeping those boundaries clear until you have consent to move in a different direction would be advisable for newbies.
I completely agree. Like we said earlier, it doesn't mean that you have to stay in one role, or even if you feel that you don't fit a role, you can simply just tell someone you lean towards being a bottom or you lean towards being a top. You don't have to fully associate yourself with a role, but having a role in mind or saying you're leaning towards can give someone an idea of what you identify as and what you might be willing to do, actually do.
Yeah, and I think what I found very interesting, although my slave relationship is really not technically a slave relationship, but that the vetting process for that relationship, we played together as tops and bottoms, me topping him for a year. For 12 months, we put 10 big players on the table before we were prepared to take it further. So we both knew who we were. We both knew what we wanted out of the relationship. You know, we both had explicit consent negotiations for 12 months before we even took it to the point of him calling me mistress in the dungeon and me calling him slave. Which I think is quite interesting. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a year's vetting process, but I think when you are committing to a play partner on any level, time matters, and you can only really get to know each other after a certain amount of time. And I think that that's quite important, because there's a huge amount of trust required for BDSM, and that trust needs to be built between two people in a relationship. You've got to make the container deep enough to hold it, and there's no shortcut for time.
I totally agree. And you know, as a top or mistress or a dom or any kind of top position, you cannot demand the respect and the trust from someone. That is literally earned. You have to work for it. You have to actually show them that you have their best interests at heart, even though you're hurting them. You will never actually harm them. So for me personally, vetting must never be a shorter period than 3 months, where you actually get to know a person on a human level, because ultimately I am going to come back to you as a human being after a play session, and I want to connect with you as a human being, and you need to connect with me as a human being so that I can check in and see if you're actually okay. Because some of these sessions can be really, really taxing on your emotional state. So I need to know after a session that, okay, you actually okay. I need to be able to take you, touch your hand or whatever we agreed upon, and I need to make that contact with you and say, okay, you back. You're a person. You're a human again. You do not remain in this role. You're stepping out of it now.
Yeah, 100%. And I mentioned it in the beginning, but I'm quite adamant about this, is not allowing that emotional bleed. And if you're unsure about what emotional bleed actually is or how to mitigate it, the role players, stuff like Dungeons and Dragons, have some really good articles on it. And actresses and actors also experience emotional bleed. And it's something that can be quite damaging to your vanilla persona and your vanilla lifestyle. And it's something that you need to be wary of, because this is such a powerful experience, and it is so it's so lovely to be able to let go, that coming back to reality can be super hard. So you know, having clear boundaries with your partner, that we are only in these roles between certain times. I use a different form of communication for roles that I do for that I do for normal conversations. So we speak normally on one group, and on another group, this is where we have a bit more of a dynamic. So it's just important to have very clear boundaries that separate it. Otherwise, that bleeds into everyday things, and then the everyday things get harder to manage and to mitigate.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Cool. I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, we kind of covered the basics, I think, and gave a clear understanding. And I mean, whoever has questions, you're always welcome to message us on, leave a comment on the podcast, or even message us on Instagram. Miss Kitchen is on Instagram under Mastering Myself, and I am Domina Faye. So you guys are welcome to make contact with us. We're happy to answer your questions.
Links are in the show notes, and reach out, preferably to Domina Faye if you have questions on roles, because I think she's smashing them. Mine might be a little wild and not so textbook. So, but yeah, guys, explore this. It's a really fun fantasy world, and there are no restrictions on who you can be and what you can be. This is your world, so make it your own, and try everything. There are a million roles out there, and if you can't find one that fits you, you're welcome to make one up too. It's literally your fantasy. You are under no restrictions.
I actually would like to put out something to the listeners. Maybe they can come up with a role and a description of the role that we haven't thought about, and maybe message us about it.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So if you you've been listening to, and you've been listening to us for a while now, so hopefully you have a better idea of who we are. If there's a role that you think would fit us, you could also message us with that and let us know.
Absolutely. I like that.
I'd love that. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to say kitten kisses and lots of love from my dungeon to our beautiful listeners and my amazing co-host. And thank you for this chat.
Right back at you. And I am going to say have a good day. Until next time.
Goodbye.